into the natural world that our Father made and that we get to enjoy. As a kind of a rough outline, I'm following Genesis 1, so if you want to turn into your Bibles there to follow along, I won't be reading anything word for word, more just sort of summarizing some of the verses there. To be clear, we are not here to worship nature. We are here to look at what nature offers as a glimpse into our Father's creativity. This is by no means exhaustive. It never can be, especially in about 15 minutes. And so I feel like this is a typical Eric presentation where I have too much material, too little time, and I'll be at risk of talking too fast. Genesis 1:1, very familiar words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created this beautiful globe, this planet that we live on. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, it was good, and he divided light and darkness and called it day and night. But what is light? Light, as a particle, was demonstrated by Newton in about 1700. And using a prism, he divided sunlight into the colors that we're very much familiar with. At the time, it was something that wasn't seen before. So his reasoning for calling light a particle was there's a sharp contrast between light and the shadows. And that's what led him to believe that. Later, as science further developed, a different theory emerged, one of light as a wave, and a wave with a wavelength of 1/1,000,000th of a meter. So what is light? It still remains an enigma. But we do know one thing, and that is it is fast. It travels at 186,000 miles per second, and young men, if you were to travel at that speed in 1 second, you would circle the Earth 7.5 times. That is the speed of light. Now, we often think of light traveling at that speed, but something else travels at that speed as well, and that is darkness. Contrary to light, darkness is not a physical phenomenon. Rather, it is merely the absence of something. On day 2, picking up in verse 6, God is making the firmament, and he said, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God called the firmament heaven, and again, we have evening and morning. We're not sure exactly what the firmament was or is. We haven't found that boundary yet. But when we look up into the night sky, we feel that distance. And it would be kind of nice to know where the edge of the firmament or the universe is, because we'd have this nice, at least big box we could be in, but we haven't found that yet. In verse 9, God said, let the waters be gathered together in one place and let dry land appear. The earth's surface is covered a little over 70% with water, but the earth is not composed of 70% water. On this demonstration given to us by the U.S. Geological Service, the large blue bubble there represents all water on Earth. So roughly a diameter of 860 miles, if we were to put that in context. I think that's roughly Topeka to Denver. The smaller sphere is all fresh water, and that diameter is about 170 miles. That small, tiny dot just north of Florida is 35 miles in diameter, roughly, and represents the amount of fresh water all life on Earth needs. On day 3, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs, and the fruit trees, all yielding seed and fruit after their kind. And so the earth did so. Again, God saw it was good, and we had evening and morning. Here's some facts about the stuff that God created on that day from what we have in the New King James. A lawn, about 2,500 square feet, produces enough oxygen for about 4 people. So there is your permission to have a nice green lawn. Bamboo, a type of grass, can grow up to 150 feet tall. And another thing about lawns is that they cool the atmosphere around your house and indirectly also cool your house. Herbs, long before they were used as in essential oils for Young Living and doTERRA, they were used for deodorizing and for healing. There was actually a job title in England back in the day of someone who went around with herbs and, that was their job. But essential oils are also historic. They have found herb-infused oils and creams in the tombs of royalty. were there already. Here is a fruit fact. This is a fruit. It tastes like custard, but it smells like rotting meat. And it's found in Asia. It's called the durian fruit. As a foodie, I have aspirations of trying this, and I kind of warned my wife if I got COVID too bad, this might actually show up in our house. I didn't get COVID that bad. The largest living organism on Earth is a colony of honey mushrooms or honey fungus in East Oregon. And the reason it's the largest living organism is that its cellular network covers over 2,380 acres. It does not look like much. Now we move on to day four. God said, "Let there be lights in the heavens to divide the day from the night." And so God made two great lights, one for the day, one for the night. He made the stars also. Here we have our sun and our moon, and we like them. Here is also a bit of a size comparison for our solar system. Our sun is an average-sized star, and if you look at the Earth, which is down to the left of Jupiter, just a real small blue marble there. You've probably heard this before, but the Earth could fit into the sun 1.3 million times. Yet, compared to the largest star, and we'll see one here in a moment, UY Scuti, the sun is a blip. So that's the sun and the Earth as a comparison. Here's a comparison of the sun and that star. This dot over here in the bottom right is the sun. So the sun could fit into this largest star close to 5 billion times. And as far as science can tell, this is one of the largest stars in the universe. We're familiar with the Milky Way. This is where our solar system and planets reside. It's estimated it contains 100 billion stars, and this is one small galaxy among thousands. It's also estimated to be 100,000 light years across. And as someone who believes in young Earth, I ask myself the question, how and why? And questions of how and why frequently come up when I ponder nature. And all this from 1:16, he made the stars also. We haven't even begun to talk about comets, exoplanets, and black holes. On day five, God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the heavens." And it was so. Talk about these three, and again, we're scratching the surface. The biggest baby on Earth is the little blue whale. At birth, they already weigh 8,800 pounds, and they gain 200 pounds a day, which puts some New Year's resolutions into perspective. One of the littlest but loudest sea creatures, actually creatures in general, is the pistol shrimp, there on the bottom left. An inch and a half long, it fires a bubble bullet at the speed of 62 miles an hour and with a sonoluminescence temperature of 8,000 degrees. For comparison, our sun, at the surface, I think, is only 7,500. What about this over here on the right, the cleaner wrasse? It's that little small fish sticking out of the mouth of the larger one. This little fish is often called the doctor of the sea, picking off the parasites and dead skin of larger creatures as well. Again, how and why? On day six, sorry, we haven't got to the birds yet. Top left, the wandering albatross. Cool fact about it, it can sleep while flying. To me, that feels like a gift, not a curse. How can you tell if a chicken will lay a brown egg? Look at its earlobes. There's a genetic correlation between red earlobes and brown eggs. Bottom left, that is a nest of a swift. And thanks to Lowell for bringing this back to my attention. That nest is basically made out of hardened bird spit, the saliva of the bird. And in some Asian countries, it's turned into one of the world's most expensive foods, bird nest soup. Bottom right is a unique woodpecker. This woodpecker is called the acorn woodpecker, and it's been known to store up to 50,000 acorns in one tree. Again, why? How? On day six, God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth, cattle according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth. Again, some very scratching the surface animal facts. And I have to thank Aaliyah for this one, for bringing this one to my attention. Animal on the right is called an okapi. It is a relative to the giraffe, and its tongue is not only long enough to clean its nose, but it can reach its eyes and its ears as well. By contrast, the creature to the right of that, the crocodile, cannot stick out its tongue. I'm not a parent, but I think if I were, I could appreciate that gift in my child. The camel can drink up to 50 gallons of water in a minute. But some land snails, if conditions are adverse, will hibernate for up to 3 years to conserve water. Again, opposite ends of the spectrum. How and why? And finally, on day 6, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all living things." And so God created man in his own image. We don't have time to talk about exactly the difference between God speaking something into the existence versus creating, coming down and making something. But he made man in his image, male and female. At the end of day 6, it was very good. Just want to dwell here a little bit. How are we made in the image of God? Even without a relationship with God, here are some ways. We express his image through relational living with others. God is a relational God, and we are relational beings. We have a sense of justice, a sense of morality of what's right and wrong. Creativity, the ability to create and make things, the ability to think and act, future eternal life, and free will. As someone who is reborn into a relationship with God, we express his image through working with him in restoration of nature, in human relationships, working restoratively, and in drawing others to him, and also through sacrificial living. That one is tough to do without a relationship with God. So with all that he's created in nature, with the vastness of space, he still cares for us on this beautiful blue planet. And yet, in the grand scope of things, we are a tiny dot. This image is famous as the little blue dot image that NASA took on one of the, I think it was Voyager 2, on an outer stellar trip towards Saturn, I think it was. And they looked back and they took a picture, and that is what the camera caught. On that dot, we live, we work, we play, and we're worshiping today. Psalm, I want to close with Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5, and verse 9. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Again, this has only been scratching the surface, and I trust this leads us deeper into a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and yet loves us incredibly tenderly. Thank you.